Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Today's show is all about the issues surrounding poverty and disability, how one can impact the other. Please welcome our first guest, John Smithies, from In From the Street. So in your ministry work, you must have seen a lot of issues surrounding poverty and disability.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about those?
Well, we do a ministry In From the Street in downtown Windsor, and we invite people into the church and the church basement for coffee and sandwiches, light food, from 5:30 p.m. till 10:30. Monday to Friday, and many are disabled and on disability, either for mental illness. Some have physical disabilities, and there's definitely probably 60% would be on disability, on ODSP.
So the ministry program itself helps provide the support these people otherwise wouldn't be getting a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. And many of them find themselves very low on money even after the first week of the month has passed. Then we also have community meals twice a week on Tuesday and Thursday, and we serve 70 to 100 people on those nights. Many are disabled.
So how did the ministry program get started?
Well, the congregation were hearing from God and decided to embrace fully the community that developed in downtown. Many of the people who struggle to put food on the table live in the downtown core, and that's where we're planted. So we decided to invite the community into the church to enjoy some time with each other and some hot food and the basic staples of life.
Are there any challenges in running In From the Street?
Well, there's always a challenge to pay for it. And there's a challenge to find volunteers that are willing to dedicate time. It's not everybody's gift to be with the poor and the addicted and the disenfranchised.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time running the program, has there been any success moment that stood out for you?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear.
So, looking at the converse side of things, in your time running In From the Street, has there been any success that stood out for you?
Success?
Yes.
Yes, we've had a few success stories, and certainly when in our being part of the church, it's always a success when somebody accepts Jesus. We've also sent a few people to long-term recovery. In fact, one fella that we met through In From the Street and our downtown ministry graduated from Teen Challenge 5 months ago and has gone to Thailand to teach music. So he was a success story and is embracing a new life and clean and sober from drugs and alcohol.
So how does the community typically respond to the work that you're doing?
Well, I think it's about being in community with people day after day. And trust is built through being present and being with them and listening to them, being part of their lives. And that's been the most important factor, to be open day after day. And I have many people that come every day, and we just talk about life. And most of them don't come Sunday morning, but they come Monday to Friday at night, and many times I meet them in the community. And if there's a crisis, they'll often come to me or to others that are involved in outreach in the church. So it's a community building program.
So from the sounds of it, for those struggling with an addiction or mental illness, your volunteers might be the first group of people who ever actually sat with them and shared in their story.
Often. Sometimes. And there are some other good programs in Windsor. Mental Health Connection is a wonderful program I often refer people to. And the Downtown Mission does great work. They're just up the street from us, and we feel in partnership with them. I have a great relationship with them, and actually start my day 4 days a week at the Downtown Mission, and then I come down to the church, and sometimes I have clients that come for counsel, and then back at night for In From the Street.
So if you could send any one message about the need for programs like these, what would it be?
Well, with these programs, we need to undergird everything with love. It has to be built on a foundation of love and accepting people where they're at.
So, what are the next steps for In From the Street?
Well, we would love to be able to be open 7 days a week. If we had a larger volunteer base, we would certainly be open more nights.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thank you, Ken.
It's programs like these that deal with the unspoken needs. Fact is, government support, such as ODSP, is a fine program, helps a lot of people. However, I don't think you're going to find a government office that'll sit down and share the story of how did you end up in this place? What drove you to be addicted? Or why has society turned away simply because you have a mental illness? It's programs such as In From the Street that really do respond to this need. They ask the questions, what is in your heart beyond just the surface of what appears to be a set of difficult circumstances? I want to know the person inside. I want to know if there's anything I can do to make things better for you. And yes, working in partnership with other agencies, that's one of the key points that John touched on during the interview. For the fact of the matter is, Nobody can run a program like that entirely on their own. It's not a one-stop shop, but it is a key factor in a person's recovery. You can address all the physical needs a person has and not even scratch the surface. What a person needs, a lot of the time, simple compassion to recognize that the world is not hopeless, and that there are possibilities for circumstances to change. I say this a lot, that if you live in hope each day, one of those days, that hope will be justified. These days, you hear a lot about what's wrong in the world. All the threats, all the stuff that's going wrong. But it's programs like this that are focused on really turning around the community, on saying, these are people who just need a little bit of hope, a little bit of help. And if we give them that, there's every chance in the world they can shine, they can create something, and they can even move forward, maybe even to a place where they can help others. And that is what we as a society need to look at more often. That people living in poverty with a disability, they're still potential, creative, intelligent human beings. Yeah, circumstances might have gotten bad for them for a season, but that could change. Could change at any time. If we as a society simply got boots on the ground and decided we're going to make a firm commitment not to forget these people. We're not going to allow ourselves to overlook these good people simply because their circumstances don't gel with our comfort zone. Fact is, we can't afford to live with such closed-mindedness. We have to be there for all the people who need our help if we're ever to make any progress. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
The Windsor Youth Center is the only drop-in community center for homeless and at-risk youth in Windsor and Essex. This lovely community center, usually known as WIC or WIC, provides helpful and experienced staff members, meals, snacks, resume help, and a safe space for the youth to come together. The Windsor Youth Center is open from Monday to Saturday at 5 to 10 p.m. and is located at 1247 Wyandotte Street East. We are always looking for volunteers, so feel free to get help or lend a hand right here in your community at the Windsor Youth Center.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from John Smithies from In From the Street. Now, continuing our Joe Strummer Day episode, highlighting the issues of poverty and disability, next up, I'll be chatting with Bob Cameron from the Downtown Windsor Community Collaborative. So tell me a little bit about how poverty and disability factor in at the Downtown Windsor Community Collaborative.
I think what we're trying to do is there are a couple things. One would be to reimagine poverty as different than economics, and that we can be wealthy outside of money. So I can be wealthy in friends, yet poor in my bank account. Now that doesn't, that's no sense to kind of romanticize poverty, but because there's a cost of living that I have to have. But what that does do is that if my disability keeps me from being able to financially provide the extras in life and or the basics, I do know that I have the friends and a network that help me through that gap. It's not a handout, it's friends helping friends, and that I provide things. I have gifts and talents that go beyond my disability that I can care for others. So in a sense, I can be part of a community that of friends, and we all bring something to the table. And what my disability maybe limits me in mind, what I can bring, but it doesn't totally limit me. I have gifts that I can bring too. And so we share those gifts amongst each other, and so I can be wealthy in many other ways. We realize that disabilities do create a deficit when it comes to the ability or capacity to get the stuff that I want or that even that I need. Another concern I have is that where a disability makes me compensate with negative things, destructive things. So where folks use, self-medication for a disability, whether it's a physical or a mental disability or a thinking disability where I'm thinking wrong, and I use destructive things to compensate, to medicate it. That's an impoverished area that community tries to find an answer for. So one fellow, the other night we were playing floor hockey, and a group of guys get together, and everybody's welcome to come play floor hockey just down at Waterworld. And he leans over to me and says, you know what, I drink way, way less when I'm here. So he goes home, had a great night, a lot of fun, been in community, been with a bunch of people, had some friendships that are healthy, and the need to do destructive things to alleviate what he sees as a disability is lessened. So community makes my life richer. And so we're trying to create a community of friends that all have some all have abilities and all have disabilities, and how do we help each other not only enjoy each other's company, but make life better, make life richer.
So, in your time with the collaborative, what's been the greatest success that you've witnessed to this end?
I think it would be anecdotally. I guess stories would say that. So, of folks who've been able to overcome some of their disabilities, which are which I can change. So, for instance, an addiction is a disability, where there's an opportunity for me to redeem what is lost. I haven't thought about it much when it comes to physical disability, because some of those things you just can't change. Can't make that different, but I can change the way I think about it. And I think that would be one of the things that we've done is putting value of the dignity of the person and not pretending a disability doesn't exist, but not saying, hey, it is what it is, but it does not define who you are. It's not the primary defining factor. So welcoming folks with whatever the disability is around the table to sit down as an equal and enjoying a meal together, enjoying just hanging out, grabbing a coffee, doing things that are things that good friends do. I would think had one fellow with a mental disability, a schizophrenia who lived nearby, and he knew that when his world was falling apart, that there was a safe place on our front porch where he could come and either kind of retether his life or know that this is a safe place. And so he would come over in his mental state, which was unstable at the time, and he always knew that this place he could come. So he'd sit on the porch for 5 minutes, and then he'd leave. And that's all he needed. He just needed to know that there was a stable place, secure place in his life. So whether he was homeless or fearful of where he lived, there was always this group of friends that he could kind of anchor to.
So If you could send any one message about the need for programs such as yours, what would you say?
You know, I was having a conversation with a guy just an hour beforehand, or a couple hours ago, and say, programs without relationships are at best neutral. Without the opportunity of building friendships and building relationships, programs don't reach their full potential. So out of it, I have to find whichever program I get involved in. I have to be looking for places where good people are and good being. Will they love me as I am? And will they be willing to be loved where I can, you know, give and take in a relationship? And sometimes that relationship is just, I just need a place where I can identify along here, or something where there's relationships here that it is 1, 2, 3 people that maybe I could go deeper with in friendship, and just willing to do life together with. And I think that's a real good litmus test for what is a good program.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure. Thank you.
Of course. Next up, I'll be chatting with Perron Goodyear from the Salvation Army. Tell me a little bit about how the Salvation Army supports individuals in poverty with disabilities.
Well, all of our programs and services take into account anybody's special needs. We have our food bank in downtown Windsor at 355 Church Street, which is open to anybody who is living in poverty. And actually, just last night, we had our annual community Christmas dinner where we had about 1,000 of the most vulnerable in Windsor out for a great Christmas meal.
So when you say it's open to everyone, does that take into account that a person in poverty might be facing the issue of malnutrition, which can lead to more severe health problems?
Definitely, and that's where things like our food bank services are there to support those. And one of the things that we've done in recent years is transitioned our food bank to more of a shopping experience where folks can have some choice in the things that they do. And we've also, we started earlier this year, we actually had a Healthy Choices food drive where we were collecting not just non-perishable food items, but also providing people with fresh vegetables and fruits when we can. So we were collecting some of those items, but also taking into account any special needs like dietary restrictions, gluten-free products, and things like that that we're able to provide as well.
So are there any challenges in this work?
Obviously the challenge is always to keep up with the demand. So it's why we're always looking for new food drives that we can run, looking for new partners within the community that will help us in our work. We know that nobody can do it alone, so we're continually looking for new partners, groups that we can partner with. In November of this year, we held our first Hope in the City luncheon in Windsor, and it was designed to communicate with business and community leaders. Get them to come out, learn more about the Salvation Army, and find ways that, again, we can work together to make things better for the future and ways that we can combat poverty so that the effects of poverty are not being felt by people in our community.
So, in your time with the Salvation Army in this work, what's been the greatest success that you've seen?
Seeing people who maybe have had challenges. We will get folks who will come back and thank us once things have turned around for them and tell them that the support that the Salvation Army provided them, not only was it giving them things like food and other assistance like that, but it provided them with hope that things were going to get better. And so having those folks come back and tell us how much it helped them, or at our Christmas kettles when they come and make a donation and they're in a position to be able to do that, and then they share with us their story as to why they're helping because the Salvation Army was there for them.
So what are the next steps in this work?
Well, I think it is to continue. We're continuing to advocate about poverty and the toll that it takes on people, how it robs them of their dignity. And so we have continually tried to get that message across. And one of the things that we've done is our ad material is designed in such a way so that people are maybe taken aback by the difference between what we would call the have and the have not. Those who are living in poverty and the discrepancy, and so things like when we can send someone to the moon, why are we still sending children to school hungry?
So when you say people are robbed of their dignity, that could have the impact of leaving somebody with emotional difficulties, disabilities, if you will.
Definitely, and we do see that quite often where folks. In some cases, they may feel ashamed, or you know, they're feeling really bad about themselves for coming to have to ask for help. And so, poverty is one of those things that really does rob people of their dignity. But we firmly believe that dignity is a fundamental human right, and everybody has the right to dignity. So again, when we transformed our food bank, where people were having more choice, it was done on purpose to try and help bring people dignity back so that it was more like a shopping experience as opposed to a handout.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
No problem.
Taking away a person's dignity can easily lead to an emotional disability. If a person doesn't feel their sense of self-worth, odds are they're not going to take whatever steps are available to take care of themselves. That can lead to malnutrition, health problems, even addictions, as were described in some of the interviews. Fact is, we as a society do have the resources to overcome. It's simply a matter of each one of us taking the time to recognize the value in our fellow human beings. Truth is, all these people, in poverty or not, with a disability or not, have potential. It's not up to us to say this person should have food and medical care because we think they might be able to achieve. We don't know what someone, given the right tools and the right opportunity, can achieve. And yeah, there are a lot of stereotypes out there about how people in poverty, whether they have a disability or not, are all addicted. They're all going to misuse the money they do have. But you can't make that kind of assumption. You can't just say to yourself, I think this person's going to do that, therefore I'm not going to help them. Truth is, there are those who will misuse it, but there are also those who genuinely want help and are seeking for a better tomorrow, and it can only be taken on a case-by-case basis. Know the individual. Not the prejudice, not the stereotype. Look at this as a person. No matter what the circumstances, it's more than likely nothing they did. It's more than likely not their fault. And are we really going to cast aside members of the community who are simply the victims of circumstance? Who gave any of us the right to say that a human being is without value? Nobody has the right to say that, because we all do. We all have the power to achieve. And if society simply looks at it from that angle, we can start to make a real difference. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. Impoverished or not, have a disability or not, we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.